I really felt as though our relationship didn't count. We didn't count as a couple.
Tolerance and belief in marriage aren't mutually exclusive points of view.
Obviously, primary readership is gay and lesbian, or want to be parents that are gay and lesbian. The one thing that I feel that we have in common with the mainstream is children, meaning everyone wants children to have good homes and people that love them.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Surviving queer partners lawsuit wins Canada pension plan payback, the U.S. federal marriage amendment gets a push from Bush, and Baby Magazine delivers the real poop on queer parenting. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending December 20th, 2003.
This is the first class action decision awarding compensation to gays and lesbians for discrimination anywhere in the world.
That's what attorney Douglas Elliott told reporters about an Ontario Superior Court decision this week, awarding survivor benefits from the taxpayer-funded Canada Pension Plan to gays and lesbians whose same-gender partners have died. It's estimated that 1,500 to 2,000 potential beneficiaries could receive a total award of about $400 million Canadian dollars. It's not yet known if the Canadian government will decide to appeal. Canada's Parliament had opened the CPP survivor benefits to same-gender survivors when it adopted the Omnibus Bill C-23 of 2000, which extended all the rights and responsibilities of legal marriage to domestic partners, regardless of gender. But that law is retroactive only to 1998, denying benefits to survivors whose partners died earlier. The national class action lawsuit argued that the cutoff was discriminatory and that the benefit should extend back at least to the 1985 establishment of Canada's primary guarantee of equality, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. As taxpayers, gays and lesbians had always been required to contribute to the CPP at the same level as heterosexuals.
76-year-old lead plaintiff and veteran activist for gay and lesbian civil rights, George Hislop, whose partner of 28 years, Ronnie Shearer, died in 1986, pointed out that the contested years included the decade in which the largest number of Canadian gay men had died of AIDS. A lesbian and three other gay men also represented survivors in court, while some 400 others so far have registered to join the lawsuit. Nova Scotia plaintiff Albert McNutt, whose partner Gary Pask died in 1993, expressed their shared sentiment about exclusion from the benefits when he told reporters,
"I really felt as though our relationship didn't count. We didn't count as a couple. To have your relationship not thought of in a legitimate way and demeaned in that sense, it really tore me apart."
Ontario Superior Court Justice Ellen MacDonald agreed that the government's time limit on survivor benefits constituted illegal discrimination and ordered the cutoff changed to the 1985 date of the charter. Her ruling entitles the gay and lesbian survivors to back payments from that date, plus interest accrued on payments beginning in 1993. Quebec is the only region not covered by the class action because that province runs its own separate pension plan.
Canada's new Prime Minister, Paul Martin, has also been thinking about the Charter. He told the CBC this week that he was willing to become the nation's first PM ever to invoke the so-called notwithstanding clause, if that's what it took to protect churches from being forced to perform wedding ceremonies for gays and lesbians. Martin, a devout Catholic, admitted that it was unlikely that the Supreme Court of Canada would impose that requirement. Religious freedom is one of the issues already put to the nation's highest court under Martin's now-retired predecessor, Jean Chrétien, in preparation for the introduction of a federal bill to extend full equal marriage rights to same-gender couples. But it's appearing more likely that Martin's administration will further ask the court whether equal federal status under the separate name of civil unions will meet the marriage equality requirements of legal rulings by three top provincial courts. Activists fear that move could further delay federal marriage legislation by as much as another year. It's been suggested that Martin would benefit politically from putting off the court's scheduled April hearing on the marriage questions, allowing him to call an election at about that time without that issue in the spotlight.
Massachusetts' top court is also fielding questions about its recent landmark ruling demanding marriage equality for same-gender couples. The Supreme Judicial Court had left the state legislature some time to meet its requirements, and the state Senate voted to ask the court if separate civil unions with the state-level benefits of marriage might suffice. State Assembly members agreed to hold off on their proposals for gay and lesbian unions until the court has responded. The court put out a call for submissions from interested parties.
U.S. President George W. Bush criticized the Massachusetts ruling in an ABC TV interview this week and made his strongest statement of support yet for the federal marriage amendment to constitutionally prohibit legal same-gender marriages, while also seemingly supporting state-level civil unions, a tightrope walk that brought him criticism both from supporters of gay and lesbian equality and from their opponents. Bush told Diane Sawyer,
"If necessary, I will support a constitutional amendment which would honor marriage between a man and a woman, codify that, and will the position of this administration is that, you know, whatever legal arrangements people want to make, they're allowed to make, so long as it's embraced by the state." Let me tell you, the court, I thought, was overreached its bounds as a court. It did the job of the legislature. It was a very activist court in making the decision it made. And as you know, I'm a person who believes in judicial restraint as opposed to judicial activism that takes the place of the legislative branch.
But Vice President Cheney has spoken out in favor of civil unions. In the 2000 election, you said pretty much it was a state issue.
No, that's right, except unless judicial rulings undermine the sanctity of marriage, in which case we may need a constitution amendment. I do believe in the sanctity of marriage, but tolerance and belief in marriage aren't mutually exclusive points of view.
The National Gay and Lesbian Task Force labeled Bush's remarks a declaration of war on gay America, and Democratic presidential hopeful Congressmember Dick Gebhardt called on the president to end his alliance with bigotry once and for all and speak out against the Republican Party's hostile election year attempt to polarize the election. But the Anti-Gay Family Research Council expressed concern at the president's seeming support of civil unions, viewing them as states redefining of marriage. In fact, the U.S. Constitution leaves the definition of marriage entirely in the power of the individual states. The conservative lobby group Citizen Outreach demanded clarification from the president on issues including whether he would support a constitutional amendment only if a court struck down the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, whether he would support an amendment which denied legal status to civil unions as well as to same-gender marriages, and whether he would accept same-gender marriages if established by a state legislature rather than a court.
Meanwhile, the New Jersey State Assembly this week approved, with the minimum required votes, a bill to create a statewide domestic partners registry carrying some significant legal status. Partners' rights would include hospital visitation, medical decision-making, inheritance tax exemption, dependent status for state income tax deductions, spousal benefits for partners of state employees, and a prohibition against discrimination based on having a domestic partner. One controversial point in an hour of heated floor debate was the bill's inclusion of heterosexual couples over age 62, which was also a sticking point as the state Senate Judiciary Committee greenlighted a very similar measure 6-1. If the bill passes the Senate, Governor James McGreevy has indicated he will sign it. A lawsuit seeking equal marriage rights in New Jersey is currently awaiting an appeal.
But last week, the Ohio State House of Representatives passed by a nearly 3-1 margin what's been called a super DOMA, a bill not only to deny legal recognition of same-gender marriages, but to prohibit recognition of all state employees' unmarried partners for the purposes of health insurance and other benefits. Activists believe the language of the bill is such that it could open to challenge any spousal benefit extended to unmarried partners. If it's passed by the state Senate, Governor Bob Taft has indicated he'll sign it.
In the state of Washington, the King County Council this week adopted an equal benefits ordinance requiring employers who contract with the county to extend the same benefits to their unmarried workers' domestic partners as they do to married workers' spouses. The vote was 8-5 to place the requirements on contracts worth at least $25,000.
In Japan, a single vote tipped the balance on the Miyakonojo City Assembly this week as it okayed an ordinance prohibiting discrimination against lesbi gays and people with gender identity disorder. Civil rights protections based on sexual orientation are rare in Japan, with Miyakonojo the first city to adopt them in the Miyazaki Prefecture, although at least two cities and other prefectures have adopted them. But the Miyakonojo ordinance is believed to be the first in the nation to protect bisexuals and transgenders as well.
And finally, gay activist and actor Harvey Fierstein found an unusual platform from which to take up the U.S. debate on marriage equality, afloat in New York City's huge annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. Fierstein won his seat in the pageant by picking up his fourth Tony Award as the heroine of the hit Broadway incarnation of Hairspray, the role of Edna Turnblatt, created by Divine in gay John Waters' classic film. To make his point, Fierstein declared in advance that he'd appear as Mrs. Claus and asked in a New York Times op-ed piece if America could accept Santa Claus resulting gay marriage. This certainly succeeded in creating a buzz on the issue, but the romantic situation was even more complicated. Santa Claus, as always, rode at the end of the parade, accompanied by a female Mrs. Claus. Not only did this place St. Nick in a love triangle, but Fierstein was a kind of triangle in himself. He rode in Santa-less splendor on a separate float, dressed not just as Mrs. Claus, but as Edna Turnblad, dressed as Mrs. Claus.
That's News Wrap for the week ending December 20th, 2003, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
A buck or a pound, a buck or a pound is all that makes a belt go around. That clinking, clanking sound, it makes the belt go round.
Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you.
To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain,
or for audio cassette subscription information,
please visit our website at thiswayout.org,
email us at tworadio@aol.com,
or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA.
Thanks to Alternabid and the Stonewall Society, you can still bid on some terrific items in an online auction to benefit This Way Out.
Look for the This Way Out auction area at alternabid.com. It may come as a surprise to fans and readers of And Baby that its publisher, Michelle Darnay, wasn't actually a parent when she began the magazine. Since then, Darnay and her partner have welcomed twin daughters, and their periodical progeny was named one of the 100 Greatest Gay and Lesbian Success Stories of 2001 by Out Magazine. This Way Out's Steve Pride was tempted to ask the ultimate supermom for milk and cookies, but he was really there to talk with the lesbian media mogul about the ins and outs and the politics of queer parenting.
It's sort of a Cinderella story. Growing up in the San Francisco Bay Area, she had 10 brothers and sisters. Right out of high school, she started her career in publishing by loading trucks for a small paper. Today, she lives in New York and is sometimes referred to as the Martha Stewart of the gay and lesbian parenting world. So, who is this Wonder Woman?
Hi, I'm Michelle Darnay, publisher of And Baby magazine.
Michelle, why did you decide to start this magazine?
I had moved to New York, took some time off, wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and Kathleen and myself, my partner, wanted to start a family. I asked one of the girls from my little marketing company if she could research and get me all the information she could on gay and lesbian parenting. At that time, we weren't sure if we wanted to use a donor that we knew, if we wanted to go to a bank. We really were clueless about what to do. When we started to research the market, we realized that there was very little information available. And I was really saddened by that because I'd been working in the mainstream for so long, but had been out all my life. I just assumed that we had everything we needed. So here we are, you know, 18 months into research and not finding the information that we need. Thus, And Baby. We launched the magazine in June of 2001. with the idea that we were going to start a family. And what ended up happening was Anne Baby was so well received. It really became the baby. And we were spending, you know, 14 hours a day at work and working 7 days a week. And it just got crazy. So, of course, the family got put on hold. By then, we knew exactly how we wanted to do it. We were ready, prepared. So me being 38, Kathleen being 33, you know, we really are hoping to have three children. So we decided to get started. And it just so happened that we were really fortunate because we got pregnant immediately, first time out. Now we have two baby girls.
Who is the readership? Is it strictly gay people?
No, actually. The content that you read in Anne Baby, you will not find anywhere else. I mean, you're not going to find it in parenting. You're not going to find it in child. It's just too risky. They're not going to talk about men breastfeeding. I mean, it's just, you're not going to see those, that kind of stuff in the mainstream. The one thing that I feel that we have in common with the mainstream is children, meaning everyone wants children to have good homes and people that love them. I think that at the end of the day, everybody is sort of striving for that goal. The nice thing about this publication is that it really crosses over. There's a lot of information for the mainstream that they can't find either. And there's a lot of people that are waiting till they're older to have children, a lot of straight couples. So what ends up happening is them getting pregnant immediately just doesn't happen. They a lot of times have to seek outside assistance. So I find that they'll pick up the magazine because we talk about surrogacy. We talk about adoption. We talk about other options than, quote, the typical. Obviously, primary readership is gay and lesbian or want to be parents that are gay and lesbian. We find a lot of people who are thinking of starting a family. So they can pick a band baby and really get a good understanding of sort of what they're up against, trials and tribulations, and all the wonderful things about having a family as well.
What were your challenges in getting advertisers on board?
It was a big thing to say, you know, if you're working for a gay and lesbian publication, that I have this publication and we have all the spendable income. Because guess what? We don't have any kids. We don't have any braces. We don't have any of those things. So now the pitch, you know, for us, of course, is opposite. What we find is that it takes planning. It takes strategy. It takes money. None of us have children by accident. So it's a really planned effort. Depending on what route you go, of course, it can tend to be very expensive. So what I tell the advertising clients is that, you know, here we are, people that are doing jumping through hoops to start a family. And wanting to do things right. You know, so many of us were raised with, oh, you're gay, go to the back of the bus sort of thing. So I think that a lot of the families, when they actually are getting ready to start their process and figure out what's going to be best for their family and their family unit, I think that the amount of thought and process is just, it's incredible what people do to have families.
Times, they are a-changing, but it's still a long, hard road for gays and lesbians who want to be parents.
You know, it saddens me because we have millions and millions of children across the country that need homes, that are in the foster care system. We have millions of gay and lesbian people that want these children. And, of course, surrogacy and all these other options, they're very expensive. We really do have to jump through hoops. And I'm hoping that with Anne Baby and what's going on sort of with the whole revolution, is what I call it, that over time, it's not going to be this difficult.
What impact did Rosie O'Donnell have on public awareness and acceptance of gay parenting?
Rosie has a famous face. The more celebrities that come out, the better it is for us. And not even necessarily, let's take the celebrity part out of the equation. The more people that come forward, the more people who are proud of who they are, who can stand up and say, this is my family, I'm a great mother, I'm a great father, what have you, the better off we're going to be, period. I spend a lot of time educating people. I mean, of course, I'm the publisher of the magazine, but take the magazine out of the equation, I still spend a lot of time educating people. People will ask me and Kat walking down the street with the girls. I mean, you find yourself explaining just sort of your family dynamic because people sort of assume, oh, you must have a husband somewhere or, you know, one of those girls has this husband at home or whatever. So you do some educating, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
What's the reaction and the feedback you've gotten from the gay community overall? Because it's a very diverse community.
I don't think that everybody in our community wants to have children. I think that there are people in our community that, you know, could care less. But I think that overall, I think the community as a whole is happy about the fact that we've went to this other level. It's a very political statement to have a family. So I think that it's sort of reaching all the different people in our community.
One thing that struck me looking through your magazine is that it takes gay pride for granted.
I get that a lot. People say, you know, you just sort of don't apologize for being gay. I've never apologized for being gay. I'm very happy with who I am. You know, I was raised in a family that loved me, what I always say, in spite of myself, regardless. I have this incredible, incredible mother who knew I was a lesbian before I did. I've always worked and I've always been out. And if anybody had an issue with it, I never really heard about it because I just kept sort of blowing right by them. And I took that approach with the magazine as well. I'm proud of the fact that we can have families.
What do you think that the top political issues for gay parents are these days?
Well, I mean, obviously, the whole adoption situation. You know, some states allow second parent adoption, some states don't, and sometimes they do, and then they say they don't, and it's just that. I mean, part of where we're having problems with the whole legal side and the political side is that we're having issues that are coming up now that have never been addressed. Like, for example, you're with your partner. Let's say that you – let's use two women, for example. You have this great partner. You think that this is it. You decide you're going to start a family, okay? One of the parents carries the baby. She is now the biological mother, right? The other parent obviously has to adopt those children in order to be as a legal parent within their family unit. What happens when they split up? Now we've got property separation. We've got children. We've got palimony. We've got, I mean, there's all of these issues that really haven't been addressed legally because they've never really had to be addressed legally. You know, so what's happening is the legislation is having a difficult time because there's no written word for how to handle these cases. So these things are being handled sort of in a case-by-case basis. It's crazy. Legally, we haven't caught up to what's going on or politically with what's actually happening in the marketplace, so to speak.
And you're sending this out into a world that you're eventually going to send your children out into.
Exactly. Exactly. 5 years from now, when they start kindergarten, I don't want it to be an issue that they have two mommies. You know, I mean, I wish that we didn't have to have this magazine. I do. I wish that we didn't have to. But I'm also glad that we can bring all this information together and that you have resources. There's doctors and attorneys, and there's tons and tons of resources within the magazine. So if you want to start on this endeavor or think about this process, you actually have somewhere to go. I didn't have that when I started or when we were thinking about starting a family.
Besides And Baby Magazine, Michelle Darnay has plans for a spin-off radio show, a clothing line for kids, and maybe even a television show. Not bad for a working mom. For more information on her magazine, point your internet browser to andbabymag.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Hush it, baby, don't say a word. I'm gonna buy you a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird won't sing, Papa gonna buy you a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring is brass, Papa gonna buy you a looking glass. And if that looking glass will break, Papa gonna buy you a chocolate cake.
Let's man.
I'm Clive Barker.
This is Janice Ian.
I'm B.D. Wong.
I'm Kate Quinn.
This is Judy Shepard.
I'm Armistead Maupin.
This is Dorothy Allison.
A summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community.
The Supreme Court says that we matter and we're valuable.
Being gay is not a crime.
It says intended bridegroom and intended bride.
How are
intended spouse and intended spouse?
To press forward with this consecration will be to turn our backs on Almighty God.
It's not about me. It's about so many other people at the margins.
Finally, all families in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts will have the opportunity to be equal families under the law.
My name is Billy Bean.
This is Margaret Cho.
This is Greg Louganis.
I'm Patricia Nell Warren.
This is Edmund White.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
This is Ian McKellen.
I'm Amanda Burst.
I'm Bruce Valanche, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. Please do stay tuned.
And finally this week, a word about next week's special program. After we climb aboard the Holiday Express for a bit of seasonal silliness.
Yeah. So fat and jolly. Yeah. Got a lot of body. Santa. Here it comes. Santa. Everybody's trying to be like Santa Claus. Giving lots of presents to all the girls and boys. Landing on the rooftops, flying through the air. One night, have no time to spare. You can best believe that he's just like
2003 was a year that featured war, political intrigue, and a huge victory for the lesbian and gay community. And as always, our LGBT musicians provided a soundtrack. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Join us as we take a look back at our favorite sounds of the year on the 2003 Audiophile Year in Review, coming the last week of December here on This Way Out,
the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Fensbury, Rex Walkner, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Thanks also to J.D. Doyle. Holiday Express performed Disco Santa, Bobby McFerrin sang Hush Little Baby, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. Please visit thiswayout.org to find out how you can get a trio of 2003 year-in-review CDs by supporting This Way Out. For our associate producer, Lucia Chappell, and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 7THE Hobart, Tasmania, WRUV Burlington, Vermont, KMUD-KMUE Garberville, Eureka, California, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. We wish you happy holidays as you stay tuned.